Are there any voices echoing in your head, your heart, your mind? Whose voice, for example, do you hear as if it was yesterday? Clear as a bell, as if you were actually there listening to them. A mom, a dad, grandma, grandpa. Now, to be fair, you've come to know me pretty well, and my mind is, pretty warped. And I readily admit to you today that I have many voices echoing through my mind, but please don't call my psychiatrist and have me committed just yet. One voice above the cacophony of others that sticks out in my mind is that of my dear Uncle Chuck. You see, as a kid, as many of you know, we would travel to Minnesota to visit the family farm, and Uncle Chuck at the time, well, he was a single bachelor who doted on his nephews and nieces, especially on his nephews who were interested in golf, baseball, and farm equipment, and in that order. And as we played or worked, Uncle Chuck was always cracking jokes. You know somebody like that? And they're really the worst jokes. Not that they're in poor taste, they're just bad jokes. But even though he still cracks jokes today, there's something else that he would do. He would also sing. He would sing. Whatever was on the top 40 on the radio, he would be singing while he's working and while he's playing. Do you do this or know anybody that does? One of the songs that he would sing quite often was released the year I was born, 1974. Morris Albert's Feelings. You know the song? Feelings, nothing more than feelings. Trying to forget my feelings of love. You know this? Should I keep singing? Teardrops rolling down my face. Okay, you got it? That's one of the voices in my head. That silly song. So who's the voice in your head? And what's that voice saying? Now, to be fair to Morris Albert and Uncle Chuck, feelings are a powerful part of our human experience. Think of all the important decisions we make based on how we feel. This last weekend, I was back at my home congregation, as you're aware of, preaching for their 90th anniversary. And as I walked down the hallway, I remember the first time I walked into the eighth grade classroom there. And I remember seeing a couple of girls in the classroom, I have to admit. But there was one that I saw. She's sitting over there. And I can still remember to this day what that was like and the emotions I had for a new school and possibly a new girlfriend. Little did I know she'd turn out to be my wife. But feelings, they're powerful, lead and guide us in various ways. We try on new clothes and we may keep them or purchase them based on how we feel in them, how they make us look, how they fit. Or how about this one? What do you feel like having for lunch today, Tucker? Well, I feel like da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, and your feelings may change. New cars, houses, I mean, the list goes on and on of the way we use feelings. Now, to be fair, some of you might tell me today that you're the practical sort, that decisions for you are solely based on facts and money and your pros and cons list that you sketch out on paper, but let's be fair. I think we can all admit today, feelings, nothing more than feelings, play a huge part in what we think and do. And when it comes to right and wrong, when it comes to truth, absolute truth, think of how often we rely on feelings. I'll give you a few examples. Sure, Pastor, God talks about the importance of husband and wife, but you know, living together as boyfriend and girlfriend, it just feels right. I know the Bible says that all life is precious and that our life is in His hands, but if I feel that this pregnancy doesn't come at a good time in my life, I should be able to choose an abortion. That's how I feel. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to feel like an invalid. If I get really sick or in pain, I feel that I should have the choice to end my life on my terms. I know God made me either male or female, but I feel differently. My longings, my emotions, my very sexuality should be based on how I feel. Pastor, my marriage has been dead for some time. I don't feel the love anymore, but this other person makes me feel good about myself, and that feels right. I know the Bible speaks of adultery in the sixth commandment, but I feel good about this. Should I go on? You want to squirm in the pew anymore? You might have said some of these things, or know someone who has. Feelings invade and affect us in many ways. So whose voice echoes in your head, in your heart, in your mind, and what is this voice saying to you? You see, in our gospel text for today, there was a loud, booming voice that echoes from heaven itself. A voice that, as Scripture says, pierces joint and marrow into the hearts and minds of Peter, James, and John, as well as you and me today. And did you hear what this voice had to say? I'll sum it up for you. Three little words. Listen to Him. Our gradual for the day goes something like this. The Lord says to my Lord. You see, God the Father speaks through God the Son. And what does God the Father say to God the Son there on the Mount of Transfiguration? He says, This is my beloved Son. With Him I am well pleased. You see, let's lay the foundation and get it right first, that God the Son has been sent into this world to please God the Father. He's been sent to please God the Father, to be the once-for-all sacrifice, the perfect spotless Passover lamb, to keep the Father's holy law that He in His righteousness requires. But you don't always want to trust in that or listen to that, do you? You'd rather pay more attention to your feelings, to making yourself feel good, or thinking that you can make God feel good about you by what you do. You and I often trust our feelings, even if they contradict Scripture. But for you, Jesus came. For you and your feelings, Jesus suffered and died upon Calvary's forsaken hill. For you, Jesus paid the price and listened only to the voice of His Father. Jesus set His own personal feelings on the matter aside and did His Father's will that you might be forgiven of your shallow unthankfulness and lack of appreciation for God's holy word. As such, Scripture is absolutely correct when it tells us that Jesus is the most handsome of the sons of men, that Jesus is the one who walks uprightly, because Jesus is the Word, the prophetic Word, the fulfillment of the Word. You see, Lamb of God, Jesus, who pleases His Father in heaven, should be the measuring stick that we use when deciding which voices we listen to, and especially in evaluating our feelings. Listen to Him. And as we sang in the intro, the Lord bestows favor and honor through Jesus, the Word incarnate who has come again today from heaven to speak to you in His Word that is read and preached in the absolution in His very body and blood, And what does the Lord ask and require of you? Listen to him. You see, all of Scripture demands our careful study and our hearing. Oh, that we would put as much time into that as we do into choosing and deciding what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear or what we're going to drive. It demands our careful study and hearing, for it is a lamp shining in the darkness. It is a morning star that rises over and against our sinful feelings and over against the other sinful voices that we hear and choose to listen to. You see, it's not about our own interpretation. We're told that as well from the epistle text. That's what everybody wants to say today. That's how the devil twists it. Judge not, lest you be judged. That's your opinion, not mine. What about God's opinion? What about what his word clearly says? You see, it's not about our own interpretation, our own feelings. Christ alone is the judge, and he speaks what and how he will judge through his word. It's about what he says, about what his holy word says, that we may live a life of repentance and listen to him. In our Old Testament reading, we see this same emphasis. Did you catch it? God would speak to Moses, who in turn would then speak to the people. You see, what God had to say was so important that Moses' face would literally shine, like one of those crazy little glow-in-the-dark toys the kids play with in the summer. I had a Star Wars sword back in the early 80s, and you'd stick it by a lamp and it would light up at night, and you could pretend to do lightsaber battles with it, but one time I snuck it too close to the bulb and it melted. But see, Jesus gives light that doesn't go away. This light is what made Moses' face shine. It was the very presence of God through the power of his word. And Jesus, and Moses would uncover his face when speaking to the people so that they could now listen to him and realize that they weren't really listening to Moses, but that they were listening to the Lord Almighty. And then Moses would cover his face when he was not speaking. How cool is that? I wish I could pull that trick off with you. You'd be impressed. But there is Jesus, shining with the same light of Moses' face, except now completely in his body on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's what we celebrate today. But how do we react to the presence of God, the light of Christ? Well, like Peter, James, and John, we don't always know what to say, right? Yeah, this is good. Or let's stay here for a while. Let's build a tent and have a little tent city and camp out. But like them, we get caught up in the moment. And we focus on our feelings. But like them, like Peter, James, and John, we are forgiven by the light of the world, Jesus. And so we must repent of seeking our own will. This nonsense about all of this individual freedom that we have, we must repent of this, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, of how I feel, and instead listen to what Jesus has today. Listen to what he says. We must repent, especially when these things contradict the will of God. Now, I'm not sure God really cares what you have for lunch. So if you want to go to Burger King or McDonald's, just decide. It's okay to trust your feelings there. But when it comes to things that Scripture does speak of, like sexuality and marriage and other such things, you better pay attention. Buckle up, Buttercup, because Jesus has something to say. Listen to him. Listen to his beautiful words of absolution, of love, of his work and feelings of love for you. Now, I thank God for the many voices that I've been privileged to hear in my life thus far. I pray the Lord will grant me more years to hear many more voices. I thank God for your voice, for many of the things that all of you have shared with me as your pastor and friend. I thank God for the gift of music and song. I do that when I listen to the choir sing or the organ play or even turn on the radio in the car or pop one of my old-time CDs. You younger kids can ask us what those are later, or even cassette tapes. But in all of that, you know, I'm not sure I always want to thank God for that Morris Albert song. If feelings. But most of all, we should thank God for his voice, because his voice cuts through this cacophony of all these other voices to come to you still today. His voice that pointed me to Jesus, that points you to Jesus. And so let us give thanks this Transfiguration Day for this prophetic word. Let us pay attention to what it says, that we may know the true voice, that we may know truth itself, that our faces as well may shine in gifts of service and work, not to God, but to our neighbor who needs these good works. Let us give thanks that we will one day rise in the resurrection from this life that's often fraught with pain and suffering, knowing and believing and being well pleased with Christ our Savior from our feelings, from sin, death, and the devil. Listen to him. In conclusion, it's a word of law and a word of gospel. A word of law that shows and warns against trusting your own feelings over and against the clear word of God. And it is gospel, and that it provides you with the strong, clear voice of your Savior. A glad song of salvation sung in the tents of the righteous. A voice and a song, an alleluia, an eternal alleluia that echoes for you, conquering the devil, the world, and your sinful nature. And so what joy, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what joy to have a voice that you can trust, that you can know that all is well, that in your faith, in your baptism, you are his child and fellow heir to heaven. Behold, light of the world, Jesus, speaking and singing to you. Listen to him. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.